Welcome to Scattered Cells Anime Podcast number 4. I'm your host, Michael Huang, and this is my co-host, Raymond Hu.
Hey, how are you doing?
And so, we've decided that we were probably a little negligent last time, and we went on with too many tangents. So we're probably going to try to keep this a little bit short, and plus we also forgot to decide on something to review this week, so we'll have to wait till next week.
Well, we don't want to put too many people to sleep.
Yeah.
So
I'm probably going to be planning actually this week something of a really big promotional crusade for our website, since it doesn't actually seem that anybody's listening, or at least not, no one's leaving comments.
Yeah. I'm just too lazy to write down episode reviews.
But, well, yeah, that's okay. I didn't have time last week either to do any real serious writing. So, and I haven't actually found any new shows to start picking up on since the winter season has started already, I think.
New shows, Mega Dare. It's actually subtitled, I mean, translated in English.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I don't know.
I've seen a few anime blogs that have been talking about it. But anyway, why don't we go ahead and go through the news? We actually have quite a few interesting news items for this week. There have been quite a few significant licenses, as well as some very interesting plans going on in Japan. The first, probably the most significant, it's that Death Note has, in fact, been licensed by Viz USA. And Death Note, for anybody who knows, is probably the biggest anime and manga and live-action movie franchise in Japan right now. It's by far the most popular show, like current circulation. But here's the thing. Viz is not releasing it in the standard way. They're going to be doing something really different. And I think this is a direct response and a direct... We're trying to compete directly with fan subs. They're going to be releasing downloadable subtitled episodes very soon after the broadcast has actually happened in Japan. So they want to be putting out an official subtitled release of an episode on the market around the same time that a fan server would. Honestly, I really do think they should have started doing this a long time ago. At least if
they're Americans. We're Americans. We're slow. On technology, we're slow. So,
And there still hasn't, unfortunately, been any further information about things like pricing, how you're going to be able to download it. I think, personally, what they really ought to be doing is they need to put it on the iTunes music store and sell it for $2 an episode, because, for one thing, they won't have to set up their own servers, and it's really easy to promote yourself on the iTunes store. So... $2 is also a very reasonable price, and it's much better than ADV's downloadable service, because ADV also has downloadable episodes as well, but they're dub only, $5. A price most of us hardcore fans would not be willing to pay, quite frankly.
You mean they slaughter the episode and put on some stupid voices and they sell it for $5? Interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, that sounds really, really like ADV. Oh, well.
They're known as the Microsoft of anime for a reason, I think.
Well, somebody should bring up an antitrust suit against them.
Well, I guess they're not really technically a monopoly. But
no. Anyway,
But Viz, so basically, Viz is going to try to, market their release by doing these immediate downloads. And we'll find more information when we get it. They have also said that they're also going to be putting out dubbed DVDs very soon after the subtitle releases have been finished compiling. So they're going to be basically separating their dub and their sub markets. I guess they realize that the kind of people who watch one or the other tend to be a little bit different.
It'd be very different, but you're right. And I, for one, I say, what the heck, you know, if it's downloadable online, actually, it's a good idea to pay for it. Since people who live in States, you got money. Yes. Mm.
Yeah, I think I would actually want to do it myself. I would go pay for it because I want to encourage companies to do smarter strategies like this rather than stupid things like ADV. So
that's right. Let's not support ADV as much as possible.
Anyway, moving on. Next item of business is another significant license, which is Genion's licensing of Rosen Maiden. Rosen Maiden, as you know, of course, is a otaku favorite. It's something I actually watched about a couple years ago, I think. And I think I've actually still seen the second season available online.
It is. Still is. And yeah, they just recently released a OAV, or one which actually talks overture. About what happened. Right.
It's a backstory for Shinku and Sugintō, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's freaking dope.
Really?
Yes.
It sounded vaguely interesting when I heard about it, because I thought those were the two most interesting characters in the show, so... But...
Oh, you like Shinku because she's like tsundere.
Yeah,
she's a little tsundere.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Genion also has... I see what it is. Before they announced their licensing of Rosen Maiden, they actually held a Guess the Genion License contest. And Rosen Maiden was the correct answer. And,
wow.
And they are going to be announcing tomorrow, on Monday, the winners of that contest. Like, the people who submitted the correct answer. They're probably going to do a random drawing of everybody who submitted the right title.
So, well, like I said, it's like otaku's wet, like a tsundere wet dream.
Oh yeah,
and the moe wet dream too.
Yeah, there's like more moe characters. I think there's one girl who has a really high pitched voice. It's not the little girl. It's not.
No, it's Suise Saki. It's a girl with scissors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I found it really extremely annoying. I'm sorry, but
I think that's the only one Maiden, a Rosa Maiden that people want to gut and cut and maybe henna like a clothes hanger or something.
I have only seen the first episode of the second season, actually. Did you finish that?
No, I've seen four. Unlike a lot of otakus, I wasn't very interested after. I barely finished the first season because I thought it was interesting, and of course, Tanaka Rie was in it. And then for second season, after four episodes, I don't know, I just got bored. Hmm. I used to like these doll thingies, but I got really bored with it. I don't know. It just seems so childish and stupid to me. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, was the plot less interesting? I mean, probably the most notable thing about the first season is that it's probably the first major anime that I know of that actually deals with a hikikomori, about a guy who shuts himself in his room all day long. And, I mean, now, of course, we've got Welcome to the NHK, which is all about hikikomoris, but...
Well, the first thing I found interesting was, it's a bunch of dolls running around. Mm-hmm. And they watch doll dramas on TV.
I really thought that it was going to be like a horror anime, because that's usually kind of a horror kind of...
I've seen Chucky.
Yeah, exactly. It's a horror.
Sorry, Jack. Yeah. Chucky's back.
Yeah. It's a very typical horror kind of trope to have, like, cursed dolls come to life and try to kill you, like, in the first episode, so...
Oh, well, you know...
Anyway, that is basically the news for licensing. We've got two more news items coming up.
Apparently. And guess what? We spent about like less than 10 minutes.
I know. Yeah, we're going to try to keep it under half an hour today. So
yep.
To spare all of you from our blathering too much. So anyway. Yes. Anyway, apparently... The Japanese Post Office has announced officially a series of stamps with Evangelion characters on them.
Guess who's going to line up in front of post office to get some Asuka stamps?
And apparently,
where are you, Mike? Where are you, Mike? Where did you go?
Oh my! It would cost me how much money to like fly to Japan right now? Like almost well over $1,000. I don't know.
Damn. Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm that much of an otaku, but
no,
in either case, in either case, it's actually the fifth edition of an entire line of heroes and heroines of anime stamp series.
Huh.
So the Japanese post office has apparently been doing it for a while. And yeah, they're going to be sold in sheets of 10 stamps valued at 80 yen per stamp, which is actually, I don't know what the exchange rate is now. Is it still roughly 100 yen to the dollar? Or?
I think the dollar has been weaker these days.
Yeah, I know it's been weaker, but I don't know, no idea. It's like a...
You know, if you really want to find out, since we're not exactly like a money exchange market thing, but I can find out right now. Did you say 80 yen?
80 yen per stamp, yeah.
I can actually look it up. There's a website for this.
Right now, right now the U.S. stamp rate is 39 cents for a first class, you know, regular letter.
It's about 66 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, that is like almost...
67 cents.
It's almost double the cost of a domestic stamp in the United States.
That's right.
Previous editions of the heroes and heroines of anime series have featured Pokemon, Gundam, Galaxy Express 999,
and a
Science and Technology edition featuring Gatchaman. Go ahead. No.
That was the Science and Technology edition, really?
Gotcha.
Great.
That's the greatest. Yeah, I'm sure that's a really shining example of Japanese technology, you know. Giant robots. Yeah,
little gadgets that doesn't work.
Yeah. That's the old stereotype.
Right.
It used to be in America, people associated with Japanese products with cheap things that don't work. But that kind of died with the 80s. But... people
associate
that.
Japan was better. When everything in Japan was better and cheaper.
At that time, everybody thought Japan would take over the world. I remember there was a Newsweek article about that. Why your next boss will be Japanese. And
yeah, they started with Blade Runner.
And then Michael Crichton wrote a novel called Rising Sun, in which it was a paranoid little novel about I think it's about, Japanese businessmen who are buying up all these U.S. properties and slowly subverting the United States or something.
Oh, you know, that would work anyway. Mm-hmm. That would have worked if... No, that wouldn't work.
Well,
they're little guys compared to us Americans, right?
Well...
These days, we're Americanizing the world.
Well, even in Japan, the kids are eating American diets, lots of meat and milk and things that make you fat. And so the current Japanese generation of kids is like getting big, and not big horizontally more than vertically,
and not down there either. I'll take my 3-inch elsewhere. Actually, that guy's Taiwanese. Ah, damn.
Did you ever see the South Park episode making fun of Pokemon?
Chin Pokemon.
Yeah, Chin Pokemon.
Bumparahapa. Oh my god, thank you, okay. They're bastards.
Did you know that the creators of South Park actually majored in Japanese? That's why all the Japanese dialogue in that episode is all accurate. It's all real Japanese.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
And I think it was Trey Parker. I mean, he actually lived in Japan for 2 years.
Wow.
And they also did another anime parody episode recently, and they sang an entire it's like a shonen anime type theme song, except it's all in Japanese and complete with English, and it's really 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 funny.
They sang it.
And that's what they do, like 90% of all the voices in South Park, the two of them. And
oh yeah.
And they sing it, and they drew all the characters, all the South Park characters, in like the Fist of the North Star style. And
I've got to see it. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah,
for anime, for otaku, I got to see that.
Yeah, I think they themselves are anime fans, so it pretty much shows. And I guess the only time I ever saw an anime refer to South Park was in Furikuri. It was in episode 5, and. There was an entire segment in it that was done in the paper cutout South Park style.
Wow.
So at least somebody in Gainax likes it.
No, they have merchandising in Japan. It's not extremely popular for some reason.
Mm-hmm. I think they've actually... Other American kind of franchises that they've turned into anime or manga in Japan, I think there's a new Star Trek manga.
Oh, no.
And there's long been a Star Wars one, of course.
They had a Spider-Man one. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, they had a Spider-Man one. The Spider-Man is not even Peter Parker. It's this Japanese guy, and he has a giant robot that he can pilot. That's a troll.
Somehow, I don't think those two things go together.
No, they just doesn't quite connect, right? But it's actually true. If you go on HOJ, I didn't know about it until I went on HOJ website, and they had and they're releasing one of those metallic robot thing, and it's a Spider-Man robot. And I was like, oh wait a minute! I remember in Taiwan when they didn't license these mangas. I actually saw a Spider-Man manga. I was like,
are you sure it was an official manga, or is it more of a doujinshi?
Oh, what's a manga? Someone drew it, yeah.
Basically, meaning like a fan work, like a...
No. I think it was a TV show, and then some people drew a manga once. Yeah, it's like, I didn't know. Back in the 80s, I didn't know what a Spider-Man was from the U.S., so I just thought it was really weird.
Wow, I didn't know that. I think there was who else was a big Spider-Man fan? What's his face again? The guy who does Eyes and Video Girl Eye, Katsura, or well, I forgot his name.
Oh,
he's Katsura a huge Spider-Man fan. He always includes a Spider-Man reference in every single one of his works, and in one way or another, usually in a background picture of some kind. I remember I saw the Eyes OAV recently.
Oh.
And there was definitely lots of Spider-Man references. Like, what's her face? The childhood friend character. She actually goes to America to go work on Spider-Man. Or something that looks a lot like Spider-Man.
Well, that would be his dream.
Yeah, I know.
That'd be his wet dream. Well, anyway, I'm sure he's have a thing for Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, yeah. She's like... I think I read an interview with her.
It's Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, she's like... She's really fed up with being typecast, like with being MJ, and so that's why she doesn't want to do any more Spider-Man movies after the third one. So, but I really like the Spider-Man movies.
No, the movies are good. They're well written and they're well directed.
Yeah, they're really well directed. They're directed by the guy who did Evil Dead and Army of Darkness, Sam Raimi.
And Xena.
Yeah. Anyway, that's not really quite so anime related. So we're gonna move on for one more. Piece of news.
Yes.
Which is that this is apparently not an official American announcement. Apparently, what happened is that during the episode preview of episode 31 of Nana, the person who announces and tells you about the next episode, which is actually an NHK or Nihon TV like anchor named Nana Suzue. they actually picked somebody named Nana to do the Nana previews. She says that there are plans to air the Nana anime in America after the manga has been released. There haven't been any further details. I just wanted to talk about this because I started watching Nana last week. And so it is also...
You shoujo fan. You always watch these shoujo shows.
I don't know. I'm usually willing to give shoujo and josei shows a chance if I find them to be well written.
Yaoi shows. Ew.
No, not yaoi. I'm okay with yaoi jokes, I guess. I mean, that's what Oran is basically based on. Actually, no, that's not quite true. Oran only doesn't have that many. Okay, there was one entire episode that centered around cross-dressing, and it was really, really funny. But,
Ew.
I mean, part of it is just mocking, like, this whole...
You know what Fred Gallagher says?
What?
Cross-dressing... cosplay equals the evil.
I don't remember he said that. That's why he won't condone any fan art that shows like any of his characters cross-dressing for that reason. I don't know if you've read any of the manga or watched any of the television show. It's definitely very female oriented. Much more so, actually, I find than Honey and Clover, in which it took me a long time to figure out that Honey and Clover was actually aimed at women. And because like 3/4 of the time, the perspective in Tiny Sliver is male. So, and but like everything so far in the first 5 episodes of Nana is all relationship angst, and with a lot more sex than most anime. I've noticed that a lot more sex. A lot.
You know, since I haven't really watched the thing, I know about it. Do the two main female characters actually make out?
I don't think so. I haven't seen that happen yet. I mean, actually, right now, I'm only in episode 5 and 6 right now, like I said. And right now, I'm doing is going through the backstories of each of the main characters. So.
Well, okay. I know they all get. I know one of them gets engaged, gets married, or going to get married, whatever, to a guy.
Well, yeah, because there's one girl. One of the girls is like really boy crazy. She sleeps around with lots and lots and lots of different guys, and like because she's trying to find like happiness in relationships, but they all keep disappointing her. And then the other girl is the rock star or the punk rocker, and I like her a lot better actually. But
oh yeah, you just hope she turns into a tsundere too. He's a goth. She's a goth and punk tsundere.
I wonder. There was this whole
trend. No, she's not.
There was this whole trend toward this goth loli thing for a while, like with Frozen Maiden as an example. Actually, there was also Petite Cosette, and there was several other shows too. Actually, I remember I even walked into a Chinese not grocery store. It's like they sell like Chinese pop culture stuff and manga as well. And yeah, there was an entire like fan magazine just about goth lolis.
That's been running for a long, long time in Japan, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, they love this goth and loli crap in Tokyo.
I mean, I thought this was a recent thing. You said it's been going on for a while? I mean, I guess...
No. Yeah, it's been a while, actually. Yeah. I mean,
so when you were back in Japan, like, a couple of years ago, you saw it everywhere or something? Or
no. In Tokyo, some places.
Oh, okay.
It's more like, I guess they have enough audience for it, so like, they have a magazine for it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to see everybody doing it because it's quite weird.
I see. Then there was there have been a whole profusion of goth shows as of late. I mean, there's like Tsukihime, Fate Stay Night. And they all seem to have good music. That's the only thing about it. I really like the music for some reason.
They just get good music for these sort of things. That's right.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. If you count these things, yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Petit Croissant was kind of more like Dali style.
Yeah, there's a lot of mournful violin and orchestra, and if it's done by Yuki Kajiura,
No. I said then... the visual stuff is more like Salvador Dali.
Oh, right. Yeah, cassette. Yeah, with cassette, definitely.
I kept on telling you that.
Yeah, it was very surreal. It definitely reminded me of like surrealism and probably expressionism as well. So. And all those other terms that I don't know because I wasn't an art major like you were, so...
I forgot more than half of it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay.
That pretty much wraps it up for the news.
And keeping track of the time, we ran about...
24 minutes. 24
Damn.
Minutes.
Okay.
And we're back. And I was just wondering, actually, whether I guess we could just say a few words about. You want to talk a little bit about Megaderry?
No, yeah, just a little preview since I haven't even watched an episode, and you want to talk about Nana or something else?
Yeah, I'll probably just say a couple of first impressions. I already gave a lot of them when we were talking about Nana before.
All right. So anyway, why don't you go ahead?
Well, I guess I didn't really summarize what Nana is really all about. It's about two young women, both age 20, who randomly meet on a train on the way to Tokyo, and they're both named Nana, and they are very different characters. Like, one is a kind of a naive, boy-crazy girl from the country, from a small town, and she's trying to move in with her boyfriend in Tokyo. And the other one is kind of a punk rock girl who's a singer in a band, and she's just touring around the country. And basically, they end up meeting randomly on the train, and through another series of events, they end up moving in together. And I've only watched, again, 5 episodes, and right now, they're just going through each individual character's side story, or backstory, rather. So they actually haven't done anything in the present time yet, as far as I can see. And I remember, at least in one of the episode previews, again, they use the NHK TV anchor named Nana to do it. It's a live-action, announcement. And, I mean, she was boasting about how the plot was going to get even more melodramatic in the next episode. And at least that's the word the translator used, melodramatic. And it really does seem that way, because it's definitely 100% focused on relationship angst about people, disappointed with the people that they love and the pain of breaking up and hooking up. And especially, the country girl, Nana, she's definitely has something of a promiscuous streak. And, I mean, that's probably the one distinctive thing that I definitely note about this anime is that it's kind of similar to Sex in the City, that it's very frank about sexuality, especially for anime. Most anime, especially otaku-oriented anime, are very coy, either coy about sexuality, or they only do it through fan service. And it's done in a really, exploitive way. But in this one, it's a lot more like Sex in the City. It's very matter-of-fact and very...
realistic?
And it's realistic? It does seem pretty realistic. And
yes, to and us so, and most fanboys out there, I'm sure that's pretty realistic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there is actually some nudity.
Oh, wow.
And so there's actually some nudity. And so this is it's not Sex in the City type nudity where, it would be virtually NC-17 in a movie, but or even in The Sopranos. Oh. But it's definitely a show that is oriented and aimed at adult women, 20-something women, the same audience again as Sex in the City. And again, it's not quite as appealing to me as Honey and Clover was, right off the bat, mainly because I liked Honey and Clover partly because it wasn't just about relationship angst. It was a lot of it was simply about growing up and about moving on from college to the working world. And it also had a lot more humor to me. And there's not much comedy in Nana as much right now. It's all pretty serious.
I think it's all serious.
I feel really bad. I feel really bad because, I discovered this guy didn't really love me. That kind of stuff.
Oh, really? That's quite a come out, Mike. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Ew. Just kidding. No. Just kidding. No.
I'm not coming out of that closet.
I don't think there's ever a closet to being with. But anyway. But yeah.
But that's my first impressions of Nana so far. I'm probably going to continue to watch it because I've been told that the show gets really, really good. And I'm willing to give it more of a chance from what I've seen.
What I can say is that a lot of people in Japan watch it, and read it, and they're men, even. Like pop stars mm-hmm. read it, and they're men.
Yeah.
For some reason, yeah.
I mean, I think if it's a good story, I mean, if it's got good characters and a decent plot and it's compelling, I mean, I don't see there's any reason why anybody.
Well, Fred Gallagher says men usually would be caught reading shoujo in Japan. That is in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I know in Taiwan, I avoided the plague, but I've heard some men says they read some shoujo and apparently you don't have a problem with it. But of course, you never see a man. Mm-hmm. Or a guy in front of a shoujo section anyway. So
most of the manga sold in the United States is shoujo. It's interesting because that's where the market really took off in this country.
Bunch of women reading this stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I see lots of young women reading it on the subway and everything all the time now.
Oh, so. It's like a visual romance novel, but aren't as explicit.
How
the hell should I know?
Anyway, you wanted to talk about Megadera?
Yeah, I don't know much about it, but I actually read a review in a recent Taiwanese anime magazine. Basically, it's about this supremely powerful student council leader, whatever that title is supposed to be. She has a super powerful magic called Beatrix, and it's just a super powerful magical force or something that doesn't have a reason for it.
It's like the Alice in Gakuen and Alice.
I guess so.
See Gakuen Alice?
I actually don't have,
And Alice in that show is like a special power.
Oh, okay, it's exactly the same thing, yeah.
So
And then basically she's the daughter of this rich, like, big mega conglomerate, and something to do with power can destroy the world, and the self-defense force or some shit like that. And then...
self-defense force? Is it like the Mao Chan self-defense force?
I have no idea. No, I have no idea. I don't think it's...
That's a Ken Akamatsu thing. It's like a... It's like this delirious magical girl parody. And
no, I have no idea. I don't think that's quite it. And then basically what happens is that, like, and then there's this family of like three really short people. The mom's short, the son is short, the big sister is short. They're like short. And then basically he moves, he's like somehow, well, his family doesn't do very well, and then he gets into the school. And then basically, you know, the first day she goes to him and confesses and say, "I like you." And chaos ensues. Doesn't that always happen in all these sort of shows? Doesn't that always happen? Except it's not a harem show. It actually isn't. And it's just her and him, and everyone else is just trying, like, really dumb and stupid ideas, try to get them together / mess them up.
Oh, it's more like a standard sitcom.
Yeah. And then
you basically have one couple, and you know that they're going to eventually
end up. Yeah, and then, everyone else gets their asses kicked for messing up their confession thing. And, oh, yes, that's right. Basically, the guy gets into school a few minutes, and he gets confessed on by the girl. Yeah, very fast, very fast.
So he's really popular, or wait, is it just the main girl?
Just the main girl comes and confesses to the main guy who's short.
Wow, I think that's pretty good. Most anime romances take an entire series to.
Those are classics. Those are classic. Yeah. Whatever.
I guess they're playing with the formula. Or
I don't know. I just need to download it and start watching it. It's supposed to be extremely funny and lots of fan service-y and
Maybe we'll do a real first impressions, like, after we've watched a few episodes. Maybe we'll make that what we'll review this coming week, or unless you can find Zero No Skyma somewhere. I actually want to talk about
it. I can download that, but I don't think there's an English for Mega Dairy out. You can try to find it. I don't see. Really? I download the Chinese fan subs all the time now. It's faster.
Okay. Yeah, and actually, I was just wondering, if you could get around to doing some episode reviews eventually, because you'll have a leg up over most English fan anime bloggers. Like, you'll be able to post it earlier than most of them, because usually most of us who only understand English have to wait until the English
fans and actually, I should do something for the third, at least, because it's getting a lot better. I'm almost done with it, too. All right, yeah.
Oh, really?
And I'll try not to be so lazy. Anyway,
that pretty much does it for this week's episode. We're going a little short today, and hopefully we can usually stick to topic in the future.
Alrighty.
Okay, well, and for everybody who's listening, thank you, and leave your comments on the blog, and your questions, and any feedback, and we'll try to get your
best. Yeah, so anybody who hasn't been bored, who isn't bored to death yet, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much. Anyway, see you next week.